In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, good morning, Central Valley. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. June 10th. Year of our Lord 2023. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports for the next 2 hours. We're going to be talking pure high school sports. Well, actually, a little bit of a twist after the break. Well, I don't want to tease it too much. I'll let you guys know in a couple minutes, but after the break, we have a special guest who's playing some pro baseball. Really looking forward to the conversation with, I might as well tell you guys, after the break, I got Brock Jones on the show. Brock Jones, Buchanan grad. We know what he did at Stanford, All-American, drafted overall number 65th, Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Actually, Tampa Bay Rays, I should say. So Brock's coming in via phone call. He's playing in Bowling Green, Kentucky right now, High A affiliate. Looking forward to talk to Brock Jones after the break. So that's deviating a little bit from high school sports, but really looking forward to that conversation with Brock Jones. Thank you guys for listening. This is the final show after 43 shows this school year. We're planning on coming back in August, no doubt. I'm going to be bringing you lots of high school action when the school starts back up. But after 43 shows, 42 here at First String Sports, this is the final show. I'm going to be taking a couple months off, re-energize, recharge the batteries a little bit. Go on a couple vacations with my family. And if you guys are longtime listeners of the show, I talk about my family a lot. My daughter's getting married this summer as well, July 22nd. So there's going to be lots of activity. My middle daughter graduated from Bullard High School on Wednesday. So lots of things are going on this summer. So I'm going to be taking a two-month break, be coming right back at you in August. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all your support this school year. It's been an absolute wonderful year, and I count it as a pleasure. Certainly a blessing to talk high school sports with all you guys and bring in all the wonderful student athletes and coaches. So thank you guys for listening. Really, really appreciate it. We'll see you guys and talk to you guys in August. But in the meantime, what's going on the show? Well, I mentioned Brock Jones is coming up after the break. Drafted 65th overall by Tampa Bay. He's in Kentucky. He actually has a game. He has a game today. He's got to get to the field at, there's 2 hours difference, but he's got to get to the field at a certain time. So we're certainly lucky to be able to talk to Brock Jones. At the bottom of hour number two, 2023 Division I Central Section champ, Central softball coach Scott Gorton is coming on the show. He's in SoCal. The grind never stops for softball. He is coaching in a travel ball tournament. So looking forward to talk to Scott at the bottom of hour number two. Bottom of hour number one. At the top of hour number two, Brandon Ward. He is the Carruthers football coach, and he's also the coach of the County Football All-Stars. The game is going to be June 16th at 7:30 at McLean. Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be on the call for that. The practices started on Thursday. And they're actually practicing right now. What time is it? 10:08. They started at 9:30. Brandon's going to be talking about the County All-Stars, what that game means to him, some players to watch. So looking forward to that. That's going to be at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of hour number two, Gabe Camarillo. You guys know him, right? Home Field Advantage produces a show 3 to 5. Producing my show 3 to 5 Monday through Thursday. He and Jorge's here. He helps me every Saturday here at First String Sports, getting things set up and welcoming the guests. He and Jorge are going to do a little switcheroo. Jorge's going to go to the studio there on Palm across from Bullard. Gabe's going to come here and join me at First String Sports, and we're going to chop it up. Gabe's been my partner in crime all season here at 1430 ESPN covering high school sports. We're going to be talking about our favorite moments, our most impressive performance that we were able to witness, standout student athletes, our favorite venue to watch a game, our top teams. We're going to be breaking everything down, a year in review. I love top 10 lists. I love year in review stuff. I love, all league lists. So Gabe and I are going to be, talking about the year that was here in the Central section. We definitely have to thank our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Today, man, the weather is still pretty darn awesome. Right now it's 72 degrees, a high of 83. And looking at my Apple phone app, 30% chance of rain at 2 o'clock. What the heck? So we're looking at some darker skies. Well, we know there's a 30% chance of rain. So thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show. A couple news and notes before we hit the break. Brad Fonts, the baseball coach at Buchanan, made an announcement via Twitter that he is stepping down as head baseball coach at Buchanan. He's actually retiring from coaching due to health concerns. He was on Gabe Camarillo's show, I believe it was on Thursday, and it was a really good interview. You guys can go check that out. Go to the 1430 ESPN website and download his show and listen to that interview with Coach Fonts. He's very thankful for his time in baseball, but it was an extremely hard decision to step away from the game that he loves, that he's been playing since he was a boy. He's an excellent coach. And personally, I want to thank Coach Fonts for being so welcoming to me. Wins or losses after games, he's always willing to talk, invites me to the dugout after games, and, you know, we're able to talk about the game and other things in life as well. A friend of the show was able to come in a couple times this year. So Coach Fonts stepping down and a Buchanan baseball coach. He's got that 2021 title under his belt with the Bears after 5 years. So Coach Fonts, thanks, for everything that you've done for baseball around the Central Valley. I know coaches everywhere respect you and the job that you've done. So Coach Fonts, again, stepping down as Buchanan baseball coach. You're going to be searching for a coach soon. It's a high-level program. It's one of the best in the state. So that's going to be a very, very inviting opening for everybody up and down the state. I want to mention, too, Ryan Maddox. You know her as the Clovis North softball pitcher. She was named the Gatorade California Softball Player of the Year. She hit. She actually hit 420 this year, led the team with 28 runs. She had a sparkling 0.64 ERA, went 21-1, had a 281-22 K-to-walk ratio in 152 innings. So congratulations to Ryan. She is headed to the University of Arizona, one of the top pitchers, obviously, not only in the state but in the nation. And did you guys see this? You guys see Josh Allen? Josh Allen was named as the new cover boy for the new Madden 24 football game. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, there was, to me, that it was almost a no-brainer. Josh is one of the faces of the NFL. Kid from Fireball. Who could have predicted that a kid from Fireball, an unrecruited kid, would have made the cover of Madden? And he had a press conference that I was able to watch about 5 minutes of it. And he's like, man, Madden was a game that I grew up playing. And he couldn't wait as a kid to see who was going to be on the cover. And now he is on the cover of Madden. Madden is a $4 billion industry. $4 billion. His name is going to be everywhere. Billboards. Well, it's already on billboards. He's one of the faces of the NFL. So, yeah, who knew that a kid from Fireball who was unrecruited, Fresno State didn't even want him. The stories surrounding that is pretty amazing. So congrats to Josh Allen, cover of Madden 24. I've been sitting on this for a while. Before we hit the break here, I wanted to share something with you guys. Back in sixth grade, 1983. I grew up in Dinuba, California, and my sixth grade teacher's name is Greg Olson. And every Friday, we would record current events, things that were happening in the school, a little bit of sports on this little tape recorder. We'd hit play and record at the same time. The tape would run, and we had a microphone, and different kids in the class would speak on it. We would do poems and different things like that, and it would be chronicled on cassette tapes. So that year, I did a sports casting segment. So a little bit of a precursor. Who knew that, as a 50-year-old man, I'd be on ESPN radio here locally. And, I found the audio clip. Now, a couple things of note. Obviously, my voice is going to sound a lot different than it does now. A lot different. And I go into some of the Lincoln Records. That was a big deal at our school. There were Lincoln Records. And every Friday, you could break a Lincoln record, whether it's running, dribbling a soccer ball. There was jump rope. There was hitting a tire with a football. There were all these events, and you would work hard at these events. And if you broke a Lincoln record, you would get your name on a banner, and that banner would be held in the cafeteria. So kids would go in for lunch. You look at the Lincoln records, like, man, that dude broke that Lincoln record. That's cool. You always wanted your name up there in the cafeteria. So I have an audio clip. It's under a minute. An audio clip of me talking about the Lincoln records. All right, let's take a listen. Well, it looks like we might have to wait. You know what? Gabe Camarillo's coming on. Gabe is producing the show. We are going to wait on that audio clip. We're going to wait on that bad boy. All right, we're going to wait. Actually, I'm going to put it on Gabe's segment, right? Because Gabe's a broadcaster too. So I'm going to take time away from Gabe's segment to play that audio clip. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Brock Jones, Buchanan grad, Stanford University, playing for the Tampa Bay Rays in Kentucky right now. Brock Jones coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Mentioned that audio clip that we're having trouble playing. But, yeah, we're definitely going to be playing that sometime during the show. I just showed it to my guy Jorge right here, and we were laughing about it, man. When my voice comes on, it's pretty high-pitched. So we get into that audio clip from 1983 later in the show. But right now I'm very, very excited to talk to Brock Jones. You guys know him. Buchanan grad, 65th pick overall in the MLB draft by Tampa Bay, All-American at Stanford, led the Cardinal to 2 College World Series appearances. Right now playing high-A ball for the Bowling Green Hot Rods in Kentucky. Brock, are you driving around right now? Are you going to the ballpark? What's going on, my friend?
Not yet. I'm currently waiting to head to the ballpark here pretty soon.
All right, that's awesome. So I want to definitely talk about what life is like playing in the minor leagues, what it's like playing in Kentucky. But I got to start with that nickname, the Hot Rods. That's really cool, man. So what do the jerseys look like, and what do the hats look like?
Well, we kind of have a bunch of different uniforms. So I'd say we probably have 7 or 8 uniforms that we kind of rotate through, and we have special nights. Like tonight we have hot dog night, so we have like it kind of looks like an old dodgeball uniform for the most part, but our main colors are just, you know, like navy, orange, and white. So we kind of have a bunch of different combos and stuff like that go together pretty well.
You're used to the different combos because, man, Buchanan's got at least 8 different color combos as well. And is there a hot rod embedded in the logo? What exactly does the logo look like?
Yeah, so we have like hot rod uniforms and stuff like that, but most of our hats have just like our BG logo on it, which is just like an orange or a navy blue. It's a really good logo. The colors really like go together well. But yeah, we also have like the other day we wore like our bootleggers uniform, so it's like a dark brown pinstripe, like with orange pinstripes and stuff like that. So we kind of have a lot of different things going on.
The bootleggers, I love that. You probably never thought growing up that you would wear a uniform that has bootleggers. That's awesome. And I've never been in the South, never been to Kentucky. What's the best way to describe culture down there? You know, obviously we're California kids, but what's the best way to describe what life is like there in Kentucky?
Yeah, it's a lot different than I was expecting. I mean, I was kind of in a similar boat. You know, I never really been to Kentucky before. I've been to the South and whatnot, but I was kind of, you know, expecting, you know, just farm town and stuff like that. But it's actually a little more populated than I was expecting, and it's been great so far. It's really beautiful. The weather's been really nice, and it's true what they say about Southern hospitality for sure. You know, everybody you meet, super, super kind, super nice, and even the fans are just great when you get fans out to the stadium and stuff like that.
Talking with Brock Jones, I saw a few pictures of that stadium. It looked like almost like Grizzly Stadium, but just one level and then the press box. Is that the best way to describe the stadium? I mean, it looked absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it's a really nice park, and I've only been here really for a few weeks, but most of the stadiums that we've played at so far have been super nice.
I know you started the season a little bit late, rehabbing. What was the issue, and how are you feeling right now, Brock?
Yeah, well, I went down with a quad strain in spring training, so it kind of put me out like, you know, 8 weeks or so. Definitely was not super fun, but, you know, our staff did a really good job of getting my strength back and stuff like that. So right now I've had no problems with it. Just kind of trying to get back into that baseball shape and get my, you know, my timing down and just kind of get it back and get going a little bit.
So after being drafted by Tampa Bay out of Stanford and playing in the College World Series, you're able to get about, I think, 66 at-bats right after college, which to me is like, man, you got the rush of playing in the College World Series and, you know, leaving your team at Stanford, getting drafted, and then you're headed on a plane and getting a few at-bats before the season ends. But what's the biggest difference, Brock, like mentally and physically between playing baseball in the pros compared to playing in college?
Yeah, you know, I think talent-wise and stuff like that, I really don't think it's that big of a jump. You know, you think it is for the most part, but I don't think it's anything crazy in terms of talent-wise and, you know, competition and stuff like that. I think it's more so, like you said, just the mental aspect and physically, you know, you're just at it every single day, you know. So if you're struggling, you don't have time to, you know, go in there and figure things out. It's, you know, you just got to show up and be ready to compete each and every day, and you got to take care of your body when you can and rest and recover, and I think that's probably just the biggest difference.
And what, you know, minor league life, you hear stories. I had Trenton Camp and on the podcast, you know, talked about some minor league life stories and, you know, playing in some interesting ballparks and getting dressed in some strange situations. But what's the best thing about minor league life? And then what's been something that's been a huge adjustment for you?
Yeah. You know, I think my favorite thing is, I think, just seeing a bunch of different parts of the country. You know, I think you're kind of just moving all over, and in the league that we're in right now, we're kind of the furthest west in our league, so, you know, we have a long travel trips and stuff like that, so you just get to see a lot of different states and cities and people, and I think that's really cool. And I'd say just kind of the biggest adjustment is kind of just living out of a suitcase. You know, you're used to having a home or an apartment in college and stuff like that, so it's just a little different, you know, being ready to kind of get on the road if you're going to get called up, if they need you to go somewhere else. So that's definitely a pretty big adjustment.
Well, when you're home, Brock, where are you living when you're home? Not California, but like when you got home games, home series.
Oh, home games. Yeah. So I'm in an apartment complex. I'm newly engaged. So my fiance and I are living together here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, in just a nice apartment complex. You know, the team set us up with furniture and all that kind of stuff, so it's pretty homey. So it's really nice to just kind of come back here after games and relax and do it all over again.
Well, congrats on the engagement. You're an awesome follow on social media. I love your Instagram posts, and I saw all that. So congratulations on the engagement. Brock, I definitely want to talk about your time at Stanford. You know, your last 2 years were monster years. You hit 39 home runs, scored 134 runs, 119 RBIs, 30 stolen base improvement. This is over 2 years, and I think it was about not even 500 at-bats. So those are monster numbers. You know, those two trips to the College World Series, though, it just must have been an absolute amazing experience. What's your favorite memory and takeaway from those times?
Yeah, I mean, I truly think that Omaha is the greatest baseball environment ever. You know, I've played in front of big crowds and big opportunities and stuff like that, but there's really nothing that matches it. I think even just watching college baseball right now, like all the guys that we're professional baseball players, but we're like, ooh, like this game's on, like let's watch this game and stuff like that. So I think really just that atmosphere of being in Omaha and just everybody's there to watch good baseball and good baseball is being played. And I think that's just super competitive and super fun to watch and just be a part of. And it's something I would not trade for the world.
What about the camaraderie with your guys, with your Stanford guys? I was able to watch all the games and even your super regional games. But, you know, talk about your teammates and just the excitement and what it was like to play for Stanford and play in those big games.
Yeah, you know, it was obviously a blessing. It's just one of those things that, you know, you're in that moment and you're like, God, like I just can't believe this is real, you know. And I think, you know, just props to my teammates and my coaching staff. I really think we have the best coaching staff in the country, and we just really did a good job of meshing everybody together. You know, a lot of teams out there, especially in college, are really talented, but it's It's more so about how you guys play together and how close you guys can get as a team. And I think, you know, all of us live together and we spend pretty much every minute together. So those are guys that, you know, will be in my wedding, will be guys down the road that I'll be friends with for the rest of my life.
All right. So describe what was going through your mind when you hit those home runs, right? Do you end up hitting 5 in the 2 World Series? Am I wrong on that? Or 6?
I'm not sure exactly. I don't know if I kept track.
I think you hit three in the first one.
Yeah, I probably had 5 or 6, including, you know, the Super Regional my sophomore year. I hit 3 in the second game. So if I were to guess, it'd probably be around 5 or 6. But, you know, we call it the flow state in baseball, and I think that's just kind of where I was. And when I get in that competitive environment, and for whatever reason, the bigger the situation, the more relaxed I feel. And I love those kind of situations, those big game moments and those big stages. And, yeah, honestly, I think I really wasn't thinking much, and I think that's kind of what led to the success that I had in those environments.
Was there a specific moment, maybe even off the field, that you remember? Maybe, you know, the bus ride over to your first game, or maybe some interactions with fans, or maybe meeting somebody at the hotel. Is there anything off the field that that jumps out at you during your time in the College World Series?
Yeah, you know, I think when we were there, the first year was the mustaches and stuff like that, and then the second year it was the blonde hair. So we, you know, each year we were pretty noticeable, and so you'd get approached. I mean, we'd go to a, you know, just any restaurant and stuff, and there'd be fans walking around. They'd, you know, ask for a picture, ask for an autograph, and it's kind of just like that big league kind of feel, and that was just awesome. So I think just like I said, that environment, everybody's there, you know, in Omaha for the College World Series during that time. So it's a really cool baseball environment, and it kind of gives you that big league, major league feel.
I want to go back a little bit, Brock, talking with Brock Jones about when you were able to sign with Tampa Bay. You know, just thinking about the organization as a whole, we know what they're doing this year, 46-19. They started off, 13-0, I believe, and they really haven't looked back. It's an organization that doesn't sign a lot of big-time free agents. They rely on development. What is something that the organization preaches that separates them from other organizations that you found out already?
Yeah, I mean, I really can't speak on other orgs. I don't know how they run exactly, but just in terms of the Rays, I think we really focus on the little things, and I think that's very important in baseball and in winning baseball and just in life in general. It's just taking care of the little things, the little details, the running hard, whether it's an out or a hit, you know, just little things like that, and just taking care of the baseball, you know. And I think that's just something that we really take pride in is just those little details. And I think those things are kind of what separate us as an organization and allow us to win a lot of games.
Do you miss football, Brock? You miss playing?
Yes. I don't think I'll ever not miss football. Just the physicality of it. It's just a lot. It's a lot of fun to play. Obviously, I don't think I'm in any football shape right now to go out there and do that. But it was my first love, you know, my first sport that I fell in love with. And it's something that will always kind of be a part of me. And I think there's a lot of things that I take from the football field and I apply it to the baseball field. So I'm very thankful for that.
Well, when you started off your career at Stanford, you played football and then you decided to concentrate more on baseball because you probably realized, well, this is looking good for my meal ticket later in life. And I want to go back to, let's talk about your Buchanan days. And man, I remember first time I met you, you're at Clovis North, and then you transferred to Buchanan. But when I met you and your dad at a Clovis North practice, and they say, man, this kid's going to be a next level kid. And you're just very respectful and shook my hand and looked me in the eye. I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to keep my eye on this guy. And sure enough, here we are talking today. You're a member of the Tampa Bay Rays organization, but it was a blast watching you all those years playing at Buchanan. But, you know, you play with some guys talking about football with Kendall Milton, Jalen Cropper. I mean, those guys were dudes as well. What are some of your lasting memories and you still stay in contact with those guys?
Yeah, you know, I think times, you know, those high school days, it's so funny to think about because we'll get, you know, memories that pop up on our phone and we'll send them to one another. And we obviously stay very close. And We're just like similar to my college guys. We're friends that'll just forever, you know, it'll last a lifetime. And I think, you know, some of just the funniest memories were just some of the things that we did as a team or practice days. And I remember like we went to did like a Hume Lake trip as a team and just watching Cropper and Kendall do a bunch of like games and activities there. And it was a funny story. Like the first week I got there after I transferred, we were doing, you know, kind of like a live D versus live offense drill to start the day. And I remember I cracked Kendall. Like I got him good, like goal line. And, you know, not many people did that, you know, so it was kind of like a big shock to people. And then I think that was probably the last time I ever hit him. So there's certain things like that, you know, that stick out. And like I said, those are just, you know, great guys. You know, obviously, Crops obviously with the Cowboys now, and Kendall's working to get drafted here this next year. And you know, I think it's just those things that we instilled early on that are going to separate us, you know, throughout the rest of our career and just in life in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, here you mentioned Jalen with the Cowboys and then Kendall, a two-time national champion. Has that been, like, fun for you as somebody that really knows Kendall, watch him in these big-time games? He had those two touchdowns in the national championship game. I mean, how cool is that? Here's some Clovis kids from Buchanan in the national spotlight.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome, especially when, you know, you're sitting there with your boys and everybody's watching the game. You're like, oh, I know that guy.
You know? And you cracked him too. You cracked him. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely cool. And I'm a big fan of those guys. And, you know, just everybody from the Valley in general, you know, just whenever I see guys that are doing well from our area, guys and girls, just in sports and in life, I'm just really big support. You know, I just like to support people from our area, just in general. So, it's awesome just seeing people on that big scale do big things.
Well, I'm sure you saw, I mentioned this early in the show, our guy Josh Allen, local kid from Fireball, unrecruited, right? And he's on the cover of Madden. So there's lots of really cool stuff that goes on here in the Central section. And, Brock, you're definitely one of them. I got a couple more questions for you. What is the difference, Brock? We talked about your memories from high school, then to college, and now the ones that you're creating in pro baseball. But how have those different stops at different levels in your life help prepare you for this, where you are right now in life?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you're always learning, right? Like even now, obviously I don't have all the answers and I'm struggling a little bit just performance wise and result wise. And I think it's just kind of an ongoing process and that's part of the game. And that's just part of life in general. Just you got to be constantly willing to learn and just get better and grow. And I think that's something that I kind of learned early on that failure is a good thing. And that's something that they really preach at Stanford and just in general in terms of whether it's, you know, class and sports, whatever it is, like failure is part of success and you can learn from that failure. And, you know, there's quotes all over it. So there's no such thing as lessons. There's no such thing as losses. There's only lessons. And now I'm a firm believer in that. And I think it's just things that I kind of instilled early on, you know, from my parents and coaches and teammates and stuff like that, just being back in Fresno and Clovis and those things kind of just translate over. And I think I'm still, you know, like I said, working on things and trying to get better and just grow.
Absolutely. This is Brock Jones. Brock, want to just thank you for being, you know, open to this conversation and for, you know, just your love of the Central Valley and, you know, watching you grow up and watching you perform at this level. It's been on my part. It's been a pleasure to watch. And we're definitely all rooting for you here in the Central Valley. And good luck tonight, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. That was Brock Jones playing at Bowling Green, Kentucky right now for High A Tampa Bay Rays. Buchanan grad, did those great things at Stanford. Really appreciate him taking the time to talk. After the break, we're going to be talking with Central Division I softball head coach Scott Gorton on 1430 ESPN. Mm-hmm. 1041. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. You found us here. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You can also follow 1430 at 1430 ES. We just had a great conversation with Brock Jones, you know, drafted 65th overall by the Tampa Bay Rays. football, baseball standout at Buchanan. Obviously, those games that you had in the College World Series were really, really fun to watch. If you missed that part of the episode, you could go back and listen. Just go to the 1430 ESPN website, go to podcast, go to Central Valley Sports Report, and you can listen to any and all. Again, this is the last show before I take a couple months off. Come back right at you in August. Recharge the batteries and be raring to go in August. I'm bringing on Central softball coach Scott Gorton right now. You guys know what the Grizzlies did this year. They are the 2023 Division I champs, defeated Bullard 4-2 in that championship game at Margie Wright Diamond. I tried to have Scott on the show last week and promised him he'd come on, and he's down in SoCal right now. So, Scott, what's going on down there, my friend?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm down in Chino at the at our first travel ball tournament, zooming to June with my travel ball team and starting it all again.
The grind never stops, right? So what age group? Is it your high school kids or is it younger kids?
No, this is an 18 and under team comprised of pretty much all SoCal kids out of the Valencia area by Magic Mountain.
And is the weather about the same that it is right now in Fresno?
No, actually, it's awesome. It's about 70 degrees and overcast, so it's a nice respite from the hot weather in Fresno for sure.
Well, did you already have a game? Are you in between games right now?
Yeah, we had a game this morning. We have another game in about 45 minutes.
Oh, nice. All right, perfect timing. Now, Coach, that it's been a couple weeks since you beat Bullard for that D1 title, you know, how are you able to quantify that? How, you know, what's your reflection been about the season? Does it still feel like, man, that really happened? Or, you know, what's the sentiment about the season and the team?
You know, it's starting to become more real now. We, you know, we went and played state, and then we you know, kind of wrapping up the year. I'm a teacher at Central as well. So wrapping up the year and doing all the busy work through the finish of the year with our banquet and stuff like that. And now, you know, kind of looking back on it, it just really was a neat accomplishment for the girls. I'm super excited for them. It's one of those things where we saw them as young players and we knew that they could get to this level. It's just a matter of putting it together, and they really put it together.
Well, let's revisit that Bullard game. You've had a couple very extremely capable senior pitchers in Taylor and Nishikawa, but what you decided to throw to start Taylor in the first four innings? Is that how it worked? And then Nishikawa threw the last three one-hit innings. What was that the game plan all along? Is that something that's worked, or late in the season you just found that formula to work best for your ball club?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're really different types of pitchers. Mia Traylor is very different than Mia Nishikawa. And I think going through the game plans and stuff, Bullard has seen Nishikawa a lot throughout her career. And I thought it might be a good situation where we could bring Traylor in. Traylor has an outstanding changeup and kind of a different dynamic for hitters to see. And we had Nishikawa ready to go if we needed her, and we felt it was kind of a good time to make the change, and they combined and both threw really outstanding in that game.
So who are some other girls that clutched up in that game?
Well, I mean, Traylor herself, she also is a really good hitter. She first run and then also drove in a run later in the game with a big fly ball out to right that scored us another run. So she did a good job. And then in the last inning, we were able to scratch a couple hits together. CeCe Frizzell led off the inning with a triple. And then Bella Palma, my right fielder, was able to drive her in. And then Nishikawa worked a walk to get a second run in that inning to give us a two-run lead.
So when that final out was recorded, what was going through your mind?
You know, you never know if a game's over till it's over. And so they had the tie-in run on first base. And, you know, you're always a little bit tense and nervous. But Nishikawa threw four or five just really outstanding pitches to the last batter. And was able to get her to pop up to third base. And, you're sitting there looking like it was right in between the catcher and the third baseman. You're like, please just communicate and let's make this play. And we're able to kind of secure the ball. And then it was just all heck broke loose. So it was pretty neat.
That is neat. And, you know, what pops into my mind, you hit it right, Coach, when you said, hey, the game is never over until the last out is recorded. But, man, that Buchanan and Centennial baseball game, where Centennial, you know, hit a three-run homer in the top of seventh down to their last out, that's something that's going to resonate for a long, long time. And as a coach, like, you just never know a wild pitch here or a walk here or drop fly ball here, and things can definitely change. But I want to go back a little bit, Coach, to that win against Clovis. That was a wild game in the playoffs. Just describe that game, and, you know, was it a game where you're like, man, there's something special about this team?
You know, we had two games really similar against Clovis this year. We had one in our first round of league that, I mean, kind of drove us to kind of clean up our game a little bit and really refocus on the things that we needed to do. We had a three-run lead in that game, and Clovis, with basically the bottom of their lineup, came back and scored four runs in the bottom of the seventh inning to walk us off. And it was a pretty devastating loss, but it also made us understand that we had to really kind of bear down and clean some stuff up. And, you know, we got into that semifinal game with them and held the lead. And then, you know, we gave it up in the seventh inning again. And it was just like, oh my goodness. But the you know, I felt comfort in the fact that we had the top of our order coming up, and the top of our order is really tough. And we were able to scratch two runs in there and walk them off instead. And it was that's what I'm talking about. Like, you never know if a game's over with, because you think you have something in hand, or you think that, you know, you're behind and you may not be able to get it done. And we've been on both sides of that. We've had, you know, four or five walk-off wins or losses this season that, you know, make you realize that you just need to finish a game.
And you guys went 7-3 in league, and with losses to North, Clovis East, and then that Clovis game. You know, how did the, you know, the track is always rugged. It's rare that a team goes 10-0 or even 9-1 these days. But you know, how did league prepare you for the intensity of the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the thing about our league is you have a quality pitcher on every team, so you're always going to be facing kids that have good stuff. And the intensity of league, you know, you want to always fare well in league, and it kind of prepares you for playoffs and the intensity level that you need in playoffs. We had a couple of eye openers in league that, you know, motivated us to really kind of to do better than what we had been doing. And you know, it's a well coached league. You have good players at every school, so it is, you know, there are some playoff like atmospheres when you get in those tight games in the track.
Well, Coach, you mentioned that you had to clean some things up after that Clovis game. What are some specific ways, right? I mean, you coached softball for a long time, and you know you're coaching right now. You're down in SoCal, but what are some specific ways that you know, you're able to communicate to the girls about the mental toughness of the game? Right? It's like, hey, things aren't going well. It's high intensity. Maybe a kid made an error. The mental approach of the game, where you got to put that stuff behind you and focus on the next play. How are you and your coaching staff able to communicate to the girls?
Well, we try to set, you know, each game, we try to set a game plan and have a plan for who we're facing. And sometimes it just doesn't go the way that, you know, it's supposed to. And we just try to figure out how to bounce back from tough losses. And these kids are resilient, and they listen, and they do the things that we ask them to do. We try to change some approaches a little bit second time around playing some of these teams and do some things differently. You know, early in my career, I was probably a little more hot-headed than I am now, and it'd be easy to get worked up about things. And a lot of my old players say that I've gone soft or whatever, and, you know, in some cases they might be right. But, you know, I figured out that it really doesn't do a ton of good things to sit there and scream and yell and tell them, hey, we got to fix this. But, you know, they you know, I think they respond better to that, and they've done a good job throughout the year just, you know, adapting to what the things that are coming. And we really changed our plan as far as hitting the second round of league, and it really carried us through. We played really, really well the second round.
Well, how the girls already designed their ring, because that's a big deal. That's a huge deal for the kids. Are they, like, showing you prototypes? Are those things already on order?
We had a guy come out and with the rings on Tuesday, and so that was pretty fun for them to design. They have some ideas. The guy's doing a few mock-ups, and I think it's going to be really neat for them to get those rings.
Talking with Scott Gordon. So how many rings total, Coach, for you?
This is three. This is three for me. I was telling someone the other day, we went through a stretch from 11 to 17 where, you know, we challenged every year. You know, we were right in the mix every single year. And I thought any one of those teams could have won a Valley title. We won two in a row in 12 and 13. And I was like, oh, this is easy. We can do this all the time. And then you realize, yeah, it's not so easy. It had been 10 years in between the time that we won our last one and, you know, till a couple weeks ago. So it makes you really appreciate it. And it's exciting to get a third one down. And just like I said, it makes you realize it's not so easy.
Well, that's interesting. You should say that. It's not so easy. You're like, hey, we should do this every year, because I talked to Coach Maxey before your game that Saturday morning, and she said the same thing. Her first year at Bullard, they made it to the Central Section Championship game, and she's like, man, all right, wasn't that difficult? We're going to be doing this every year. And so I think, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. And, you know, a ground ball here that gets through, or, you know, a walk here, a bad call here, and things can definitely change, Coach. Talking with Scott Gordon. Got one more question here, Coach. I want to ask you about softball and coaching softball and how you got into it. Were you a baseball guy that transitioned to softball? How did that all work out?
Well, I played baseball through high school. Wasn't a good enough hitter to really go much further than that, and still had a competitive desire. I was working at a middle school down in Long Beach when I was going to college, and the principal asked me, hey, you know anyone be interested in coaching girls basketball? And I'm like, I mean, I played basketball. I'm like, I'll try it. And I hated it. It was terrible, and I wasn't good at it. And so the next sport come up was, we're looking for a girls softball coach. And you know anything about softball? I go, no, but I played baseball, and I can at least, you know, take some of the basics of that. And so that was in the early 90s. So I ended up coaching the middle school softball team in Long Beach, which I was fortunate. There were three girls that went on to be Division I softball players later in their career, and we were really good, and it was kind of fun. And so the next year they asked me if I'd come up and coach a JV team at Lakewood High School, and did that for a few years. Got my first head coaching job in 95, and been kind of doing that ever since. Got into the travel ball world. Started coaching there and just, you know, trying to learn more and get better as a coach. And it's been, I never thought that it would turn into a career. And it's been pretty neat to be able to parlay all that into a career.
No, absolutely. And you guys had a wonderful season. You were the Central Section softball champions. Coach Gordon, thanks for taking the time. I know last week didn't work out, but definitely want to have you on, and thanks for taking the time in between your games down there in SoCal. So thanks for chatting with us, and have a great rest of the summer.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Have a good day.
You bet. You too. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking more Central Section sports. Brandon Ward, the Carruthers football coach, he's the head coach of the County All-Stars, coming up in hour number two on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two. Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. This is the final show before 2 months off. Recharge the batteries, come back, hit it hard in August. I'm a teacher as well, so I'm in the middle of summer school, reading the book, The Outsiders, to my students. It's been a lot of fun, but anyway, this school year has been absolutely amazing. I've been able to broadcast football games, basketball games, a couple baseball games, a Central Section Championship baseball games. It's been a fantastic season. And just thinking about the football season as well, bringing you guys 17 games on the radio, following, you know, teams from the county and from the city. And we got a big one. We got one more game. Next Friday, June 16th, at McLean Stadium at 7:30 is going to be the city-county football game. We got the county coach right now, Brandon Ward. He's the Carruthers football coach. Gabe and I are going to be broadcasting that game on 1430 ESPN. Coach Ward, I know you're driving back from practice from Carruthers. You had practice at 9 a.m. It's certainly a busy time of the year. But first, I got to ask you, man, you got some dad duties. You're driving home. Your daughter's graduation party is going on. What's the rest of your day look like? What's dad duties?
Whatever my wife tells me to do. I'm headed home, and it's, she was up at, I think, 6 o'clock this morning getting decorations ready. Worked all day yesterday, so I'm sure there's a list when I get home.
Are you kind of the outside guy? You got to take care of the lawn, the backyard, and is that how that works? So you got to make sure that's in tip-top shape?
Well, we did a few extra things, got some more wood chips and things like that to kind of spruce it up a little bit. But, for the most part, I mean, we have a gardener. I probably shouldn't say that. I used to do the yard a long time ago. And then during football season, you know, Saturday, used to watch some film and stuff. I'm like, no, I don't want to go mow the yard. But, no, anyway, so we have a gardener. But, I was pressure washing the pool deck yesterday, kind of trying to make it look pretty and stuff for today. So hopefully just we don't get no more rain. We got some rain last night, and it still said 30% chance the rest of the afternoon. So fingers crossed we don't get rained out here.
Well, yeah, right. You look at your phone, it says 30% chance at 2, 3, and 4, and I know your what party starts at 2 o'clock. So, yeah, we'll pray for very adequate weather, and the weather has been very adequate over the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
All right, so.
I'll be honest with you, Paul, but you know, I'm a football coach, so we don't just hold it up when it starts raining, so we're still going to party even if it's raining, so.
No, absolutely, yeah. You're grinding through it, absolutely. But you started practice on Thursday. I mean, kind of getting to know the guys and, you know, looking at the roster right now, you got guys from Washington Union, Central, Kalinga, Reedley, Parlier. You got your Buchanan. We're going to talk about the Clovis Unified Schools that are now part of the county. You know, Riverdale, Dos Palos. So, I mean, how's the squad shaping up right now?
I'm really excited about this group, Paul. I was actually, that's what I told him right before we left practice, when we finished up practices. You know, one of the biggest concerns as a coach and as a coaching staff is, you know, how are we going to build a team in such a short time, right? Obviously, we want to have fun, but, you know, we want to succeed. We want to win, right? We want to compete. And the biggest concern is, you know, how are you going to do that with all these different personalities, different schools coming in? And I got to tell you, man, in these first 3 days, it is it's proven to me that these guys are ready to go, man. They're such a good group of kids. They're all getting along, joking with each other, playing hard, helping each other up when someone gets knocked down. You can't put your finger on it, but it's just a really good vibe. I feel really good about this group.
Talk with Brandon Ward, the coach of the county all-star football team. Coach, that's one of the things that I love about all-star games, and I love – you know, after these kids graduate, you know, you got kids that competed against each other on the field. Maybe, you know, they're like, hey, that guy that I used to not really like, I found out he's actually pretty cool and he just wants to win like me. They find more commonality when they're playing with each other. I mean, how neat is that to see that, you know, you got kids from rival schools that are now playing with each other? How cool of a deal is that?
Oh, it's super cool. You know, I mean, I remember I experienced that when I played in the game back in '94. You know, you see guys, you're like, hey, he's like you said, yeah, he's not such a bad guy. And I even heard them tell me, hey, you know, you're not as bad as I thought you were, you know, things like that. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, we got, you know, Clovis and Buchanan playing on the same team now, you know, Clovis East, you know, they all battle each other in the track and now they're, you know, they're teammates, you know? And so, it's really special, man. You know, that's the great thing about football, man, is that it's, you know, everybody, when it, you know, at the end of the day, they're playing the game they love. And that's what, that's why they played for so many years, Pop Warner, youth and high school. And that's why, you know, it's easy to say, you know, oh, I'm done, I don't want to play football. But, you know, I have a feeling, because I kind of, okay, I'm getting off a tangent here, but let me just say this. There was kind of a vibe that, you know, in years past that, you know, maybe the All-Star game wasn't a big thing anymore. Because when I was growing up, I mean, like, that was like the cherry on top. You made the All-Star game, like, let's go. You know what I mean? But that's kind of what's re-energizing for me, is to see how excited all these dudes are to play football. I mean, they're truly excited to play this game. They're showing up, they're putting in work, they're having a good time, and that's refreshing, man, to see that, you know, that love for the game, to make the All-Star game is a big deal. It still is a big deal, and that's really cool.
No, it absolutely is. And, you know, for these seniors to be able to strap on the helmets one last time, because, hey, just looking down this list, some of these kids, it's going to be the last time that they're going to be playing high school football. Not a lot of, you know, there are kids that aren't going to be playing at the next level. So, you know, you mentioned that you played in this All-Star game and what it means. So, you know, you mentioned the vibe, how it's really, really ticked up as well. I think it was 2020 that the game was canceled during COVID. So trying to build the game back up again to get the kids excited, I think we're definitely there at this point. But I want to ask you about the, you know, the Clovis Unified schools being now, you know, broken up into the city and the county. You know, this year you got Buchanan, Central, Clovis East, and Clovis Kids. How is adding those schools, you know, added to the competitiveness of the game? Because I believe that's why they did it, right? I think the city was dominating for a while, and they're like, hey, we got to change this up. So how is adding those different schools added to the dynamic of the game?
Good question. I can only speak to what I've seen this year. You know, I get why they did it, to, you know, kind of make it more competitive in that sense. And first of all, you know, I want to say there's a lot of really good county teams. You know, obviously I'm going to say that because I come from Carruthers, and I kind of got that small town mentality that, you know, we won't back down from anybody. We'll play anybody. But with that, and there's a lot of good schools from the county. I just say that. But back on your, to answer your question, there's a lot of really good dudes on those schools that you mentioned, Clovis East, Clovis, Buchanan, and Central. I mean, studs, man, you know. And so, yeah, it definitely brings, you know, some athleticism and, you know, to the county team.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of those players. So you got a couple good quarterbacks on your squad. One is your guy, Colin Hirschhorn, big yep. lefty, and, you know, led you to the Central Section Championship game. And Central's Dayton Tafoya is going to be playing that game. What do you see in those two guys? What do they bring to the table? I think Dayton's first practice was yesterday. Wasn't able to go to Thursday's practice, but what's the game plan for the, or what have you seen those two guys, and what's the game plan? Is one going to play a half and the other half, or what's the plan right now?
You know, we haven't really talked about that with the players yet, but in regards to what they bring to the table, I mean, they're both super talented. They're not. They're different in their own respects. You know, Colin's a big boy. He's, you know, he's really bright. He's got a big arm. But on top of that, I mean, he can chuck it. But on top of that, I mean, his decision making has really come a long ways in the last, you know, 2 years. I'm really proud of his progress and where Colin has where he started and where he's at. With Tafoya, you know, he's a guy that's got a good arm, a big arm as well. Little more of a kind of a runner type, you know. He can scramble well. He adds that to the table, you know. So, you know, I'm really excited for both of them. They're going to get their due, man. I mean, they're both going to get their time. So, you know, you can probably split it down the middle as far as what, you know, the time that they're going to get, man. But I'm super excited for those guys. They bring a lot to the table for us.
No, absolutely. Looking forward to watching those guys one more time as well. And looking up and down the roster, I see a running back that I was able to watch a few times this year. Kingsburg's Trace Jackson. Actually, you know, I coach flag football in Traver, and I competed against that guy, man. My teams, he went to a school called Clay School out there in the country, and so I remember him in seventh grade, so I was able to follow his career. So, you know, that kid is a stud, like you mentioned. What, you know, you got a couple other good running backs as well, but he's somebody that I'm looking forward to watch as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's a stud. And I can say that for all of our running backs, man. I mean, they're all kind of cut from the same cloth, man. They're, you know, shorter dudes and stocky, you know. But they all, you know, they all bring something to the table, man. So, you know, our job is just to make sure we keep them all happy and you know, so we can, you know, go out there and get a W next Friday. But, we got some really talent. I mean, shoot, man, we got talent all over the place, man. It's fun, man, just sitting back and just watching these guys compete, man. I mean, all over the place there's talent. I told my coaching staff, I said, man, could you imagine going through a football season with all these dudes? Like, holy moly, man. Like, it's really cool to watch. That's the fun part, man, is you get to, you know, you get the honor to sit back and watch all these dudes compete at a very, very high level, man. You know, it's going to be awesome, man.
You mentioned how you played in the game. Was it 1994? You played in the Sandy County game?
Yeah, way back then. Yeah.
Way back then. But when you got the call or got the got the information that you were asked to be the head coach of the county team, what did that mean to you? And you know, you played in the game. You coaching, you know, at Carruthers, your alma mater. But I mean, what did that mean to you to be recognized and asked to be the coach?
Well, it's an honor. It's plain and simple. It's an honor, man. You know, and a privilege to be able to do what I'm doing right now. You know, I mean, I played back in 94, and I'm just going to go back and hit in time real quick, man. And this ain't about me, but real quick story. So when I played in 94, Coach Sprague was the coach. He was the Kalinga head coach. We were at practice one day, and we were practicing over at Fresno City College, and he came up to me and said, hey, you're going to get interviewed by the news. It was my first interview on the news. I'm like, okay. So what I told the news then was, you know, they asked me, you know, what's it like to, you know, play in this game? I said, it's an honor. I said, I've been waiting my whole life to play for this game because, real quick story again. So my brother played in the game back in 87, and my brother passed away when I was in the seventh grade. So it was my goal and my desire to play in the same game my big brother played in. And so that meant a lot to me. And so to be able to now come full circle and be able to give back to these kids and give, you know, watch them have the opportunity to play in this beautiful game is an honor. So
that's absolutely amazing. Didn't know that about you, Coach Ward. Talking with Coach Ward, head coach of the county team from Carruthers. That is amazing. Do you remember playing in that game? What position did you play? And did you level any booms in that game or what?
Quite the opposite. I got leveled, man. I got hit. I've been hit hard plenty of times, but I was playing at middle linebacker, and they were running a sweep to my left. It was to their right, and some dude from the city cracked back on me. Put his helmet right in the middle of my chest, man. I think he probably did break my chest, to be quite honest, my sternum. I remember getting up, you know, like, because I won't stay on the ground, getting up, and I walked off to the sideline. I said, Coach, I need someone, man. And I walked over, I said, you know, we had a doctor on the sideline. I said, hey, doc, man, can you check this out? I don't know what's going on, but it hurts like heck, man. And he goes, well, I'll take a look at you at halftime, because it was right before half. And so we go into halftime, and he tells me, he goes, yeah, you know what, you could have a fracture there. I can't let you play. And honest to God, I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm playing. I've waited my whole life to play for this game. He goes, I'm sorry, you can't. We need to get some x-rays. I said, well, that's not why I came to you. I came to you to see if you can, you know, figure it out, maybe fix it. But I'm playing. And I went back in. I went back in. They actually put me at DN or outside linebacker. And so I got a few reps there. But, we didn't end up winning. But it was a great experience. And I made friends in that game that I still have today, you know. So.
And you mentioned, Coach, how you know, the camaraderie that you have, but also the competitiveness. And, you know, to me, the city-county game was always like the county guys had something to prove, right? The county guys that, you know, they don't want to be looked down upon. They wanted to see how they matched up against the big boys. Was that your mentality kind of back then? And so you definitely understand that mentality right now, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to call it rise to the occasion, but I always look forward, you know, coming from a small school, you know, when we play in our time, you know, like Kalinga was a big school. Kerman, Kingsburg were big schools, right? And so for us, because we had 500 kids in our school, you know, just under 500. And so getting a chance to play in that, yeah, I want to prove myself. You know what I mean? Absolutely. And I think some of that is, is instilled in some of our kids as well, you know, and some of the county kids. You know, they're getting to play amongst some of these bigger schools or with these bigger schools. But, you know, you could ask those guys from the city schools, man. I mean, there's some ballers from the county, man. There's some tough, hard-nosed kids, man. You know, good football players. There's good football in the county. There's good football in the small schools.
I absolutely agree. Do you what do the uniforms look like? Have you seen the uniforms yet?
I have no idea. We're getting those on Monday for our pictures.
All right. I want to ask you too about your coaching staff, because you're able to bring on your own guys. But you know, told me last night that you're able to bring somebody out of retirement, so to speak, to be on the staff, the coach that you replaced at Carruthers, Tom Cavanaugh. How cool is that? You're able to coach with your former coach out there on the sidelines.
Yeah, Tom Casanova, man. He's
Casanova,
a
sorry.
Coached
yeah.
30 years out. Yeah, no, that's all good. So he's retired now. So he you know, he's a full time golfer, I guess. So that's his job now. I guess he golfs three or four times a week now. But good guy. He was my coach, and then I had the honor to coach with him for 8 years. Well, I was his JV coach for I coached on JV for 5 years under him, and as he was the varsity coach, obviously. But once I got my teaching credential, I was able to come back to Carruthers and coach with him as his defensive coordinator for 8 years before he retired. And I eventually had the honor of taking over for him, and have ever since 2014. Well, 15 is my first year. His last year was 2014. He's on staff. He's coaching wide receivers. He's great, man. He was doing his homework, calling like, hey, what are the routes? He was preparing just like he always did, man. He's coming ready to go, man. So. It's great having him on staff. His son's on staff too. Mike Casanova, he's coaching the quarterbacks. His job's really tough because he's got two really good ones, right? but yeah, he coached on the staff for many years, and now he doesn't coach, but I brought him back to coach as well. And, you know, I've got all of my guys are solid, man. You know, I got Joe Almeida, my offensive coordinator. Larry Almeida, his brother, is my O-line coach. I hope I don't forget anybody. Arnold Vera, he's another legend. Arnold Vera, Carruthers has 7 Valley championships. He's been a part of 6 of them, right? Whether he played for one and he coached for the others, you know, isn't that something? That's pretty cool right there. So Arnold Vera, he's coaching the D-line. Jacob Budwig, my defensive coordinator, he coaches for me at the high school. He's the defensive coordinator. I've got Coach West doing DBs. Who am I missing, man? I've got... Coach Ryan Acevedo coaching running backs. I forget somebody, guys. I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's a great staff. We got 10 of us all together, including myself, just having a good time, man, getting to really just sit around. Obviously we're coaching and doing what we have to do, but just watching the product on the field and how talented everybody is, man. It's fun, man. It's a blast.
Well, city-county games were always my favorite growing up. I remember remember, Brandon, like the Fresno Bee, right? You open up the Fresno Bee right around when a day or two before the game is going to start, and there'd be a huge spread. They would break down the teams, have pictures of all the guys, and, man, it was a huge deal. And, you know, you played in the game, and, you know, you got some great memories, and your brother who passed away played as well. So just I'm just very excited for you, Brandon, to coach in this game, and I know the city of Carruthers is very proud and excited as well.
Hey, Sal Madrigal, I don't think I mentioned Coach Madrigal too. He's coaching, helping with the D line as well. So, but yeah, we get to practice out in Carruthers. So, I heard the first day one of the city players coming out, from Clovis, he comes out and he's like, yeah, I didn't even know this county, or he said city. He goes, I didn't even know this city existed. I said, well, first of all, it's not a city; it's an unincorporated town. But yeah, here we are, man, out in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. But we got a beautiful facility, brand new stadium, Anderson Field, that they remodeled and basically tore down and rebuilt. It's a great experience. I think the kids are having. I know the kids are having a great time, man. So.
Well, it sounds great. We can't wait. So Friday, June 16th, 7:30 at McLean. 70% chance of rain, according to the iPhone, but a high of 98, if that makes sense. It can't make sense of the weather these days. But, Coach Ward, thanks for coming on the show. I'll definitely be seeing you this week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
All right, you bet. That was Brandon Ward, head coach of the county. Man, I'm pumped up, man. I'm fired up. I'm ready to run through a wall as well. Really looking forward to that game. All right, coming up after the break, We got one more segment. We're going to be wrapping up this entire sports season with my guy, Gabe Camarillo. He's here live with me at First String Sports. Made the old drive down Bullard Avenue to get here to First String Sports. Going to be chopping it up. Got a lot of fun lists to go over here on 1430 ESPN. All right, we got some Metallica. Final segment of the school year.
I like what Hori did there.
Yeah.
You know how Mariano Rivera came in with this
Sandman.
To close it out? You're going to close out
I'm
the year
out. Yeah.
With Enter Sandman?
Good call. Didn't get into the lyrics there. But, yeah, Enter Sandman, man, that song pumps me up. But Gabe Camarillo did the old switch around, all right? Came here to First String Sports. Final segment of the year. He's been my partner in crime this whole season, along with Jose Gonzalez. You know him from Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday.
Do so they know me?
I do.
Maybe they don't
they
know
do.
Me.
No, they do. How can you not?
Well,
it's
no.
1430 is synonymous with Gabe Camarillo.
No, don't do that to me.
Come on, I did it.
Come on.
I did it. Come on.
Who had their show first? Who had their show first?
Me.
Yeah, there you go.
Jose Gonzalez.
That's the right answer, though. Jose Gonzalez had his show first. That's a true question.
All right, so we tried to do something earlier in the opener, and I tease this. So I mentioned in 1983, which, Gabe, I mean, what year were you born?
1983, Jim Valvano running around. I remember that when I was negative 18 years old.
Negative 18, all right. Good job using your Common Core math skills.
That's all I was taught, Fresno Unified.
That's how you do it. So in 1983, I was in sixth grade, Dinuba, California, and I mentioned how my sixth grade teacher, Greg Olson, every Friday would have little segments. We would talk into a tape recorder and archive the tapes. We talk about current events. We talk about what's going on at the school, some changes. And I got on and I talked about the Lincoln record. So this is a precursor to my radio broadcast career. Who knew in 1983 in Dinuba, California, that this little shrimp of a guy, and you'll hear it in my voice right now. Fast forward, if I did some Common Core math, I could figure out how many years later this is. Forty
yep.
years later, here I am. So Jorge back in studio, hopefully I was just queued up. Mm-hmm. This is me in 1983 talking about the Lincoln Records, Paul Metters' future sports career.
Hi, my name is Paul Whitney Metters. I'm 11 years old. I was born in San Jose, California on August 10th, 1971. I have lived in Dinuba for 8 years. My hobbies are sports, collecting trading cards, and playing Atari. When I grow up, I want to be a Major League Baseball player for the Los Angeles Dodgers. There are 24 Lincoln records broken in 1983. 9 records were girls, 15 were boys. Rudy Gomez broke one record by hitting a tire 16 times in a row with a football. Michael Nakamura broke 3 records in football throw for distance, 129 feet 7 inches, and for softball throw for distance, 160 feet 10 inches, and for base running, 11.50 seconds. Larry Snyder broke one record for volleyball serving by hitting a volleyball over a volleyball net and scoring 1,540 points. Benny Bollinger broke 4, yes, 4 Lincoln records.
Yeah, look at that. Little
Rudy Gomez hit a tire 27 times.
Can you believe that? This
wow.
is remember, this is Dinuba, California, 1983. Some rudimentary activities out there. Yeah, that was a Lincoln record.
Huh.
Hitting a tire that was up against a backstop. What did it say, 27?
27 times
in a row, hitting that tire.
What's Rudy doing now?
Rudy, I don't know. That's a very cool. I know Michael Nakamura. Michael Nakamura was one of my friends. So Michael Nakamura he went to MIT. How about
that?
One of Dinuba's finest, and he could run the bases, obviously, breaking lots of records. So, yeah, there I am, 1983, the high voice and all. Wanted to play shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That didn't work out. But here I am sitting next to you, Gabe, on 1430 ESPN. Still talking about sports.
Not a bad fallback option, I would say.
Still talking about sports. So that's a clip I've been sitting on for a while, just kind of fun. And, yeah, that's sweet and innocent times back then.
You know, that's the thing about this business. Usually everyone who is in this business found a – I keep having to clear my throat here because of the coffee I drank this morning. They always find, like, that love for it early. Paul Leffler tells the story of how he would call games as a 10-year-old in Los Banos, And I think one of the times he was calling a game, someone came up to Paul in the booth and said, hey, whoever the girl is that is not in the game, tell them they're doing a good job. It's Paul Leffler in his high-pitched voice. But I just think it's you, both Pauls, you and Leffler, it's funny to hear that you guys both had found your love of broadcasting very early on.
Yeah, and obviously I'm, you know, full-time teacher, and you know, I did some writing and then fell into this radio gig here. So yeah, it's you know, it's the last show of the school year, and it's, you know, I mentioned in my opener how it's a blessing to be able to talk about high school sports and the wonderful kids that we have up and down the central section. You know, just talk to Brandon Ward. He remembers playing in the game in 1994. He remembers how much that meant to him. You know, how the county schools wanted to prove what they could do on the field or on the court against the city schools. And then I didn't even know, but he mentioned his brother who played in the game who passed away later. So just those great memories that everybody has about playing sports in the Central Valley, just how much it means to people and the memories that are created just absolutely last a lifetime.
Well, why do you think it matters so much here in the Valley? I have my ideas. I think without any pro sports team to cheer for, you cheer for your high school. When you graduate, you cheer for your alma mater. And you cheer for Fresno State. I think those are the three, or those are the two things you cheer for: a high school team and your Fresno State Bulldogs. I think that's why high school sports is so big here, is because that's kind of like what our second tier of sports. I know the Grizzlies exist, and we've had these different franchises come in. Remember the Central Valley Coyotes?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Fresno Falcons.
Football, hockey.
Yeah, but those are not here anymore. I mean, the Monsters are still here, but I don't know if they're as big as they once were. High school sports is always going to be big here. And so I feel like you're always going to have those alumni. You cheer for the Emmanuel Eagles, I know, Paul. You follow their football team. You follow their basketball team and their baseball team. And I think I cheer for the Edison Tigers sometimes, my alma mater. And so I think it's kind of – it's what we identify with here in the Valley, our high school. And we like seeing other high school athletes go through what we went through.
It is. And even when you meet, you know, people that are older, say in their 40s and 50s, what's one of the questions that you ask? It's like, where'd you graduate from?
Yes.
So you get there's a lot of identity in what school you went to or what city or town or town you grew up in as well. And I think that's one thing that makes the Central Valley so great is the Carruthers, the Fowlers, the Dinubas, the Kingsburgs, the Selmas, the Fireballs. We got our guy Josh Allen, the cover of Madden. Like, those are special, the one school towns, right? You identify with that. And, you know, I mentioned I'm reading the book The Outsiders, and just – you know, the communities that come out of that, just the memories that you have are just great. You remember cruising around town. You remember, you know, going to games and eating at certain restaurants. You remember hanging out at your buddy's house, maybe getting into a little bit of trouble, throwing, you know, parking on the side of the road and throwing oranges at somebody. You know, I mean, there's all those things that make growing up in Central Valley fun.
Throwing oranges at people?
Yeah, that happened. That happened a few times, right? We traveled to Woodlake and Lindsay, so we had some time in our hands.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, since you're talking about memories, a lot of them were made this season, and we're going to talk about some of the best of what we saw this season, but
we have five
a year went by so fast. I remember sitting down with Daniel Jessing at Fresno Christian, and we were talking about last year and kind of previewing this year. That doesn't seem like long ago. That was August we went to talk to Daniel about it.
Well, life moves fast, Gabe.
Yep.
Had a daughter graduate. You know, Brandon Ward mentioned his daughter's graduating from Clovis East, got his party. So
high school
life
football
moves very, very fast. Gabe, let's talk about the year that was.
Yeah.
Right. I got five different categories that I want to discuss. All right. So the first one, we'll start with you. I'll ask you. So your favorite moment. Now that can be you know, personally as a broadcaster, your favorite moment of the school year.
I think favorite moment of the school year was watching excellence, watching someone perform at the highest level, the state championships in girls basketball and track and field. So Talia Maxwell, what she did in the Division II girls basketball state championship, posting 24 points and 22 rebounds. The rebounds number is a state record. And the way that she kind of not carried the Central Grizzlies, because there were other key players in that one that helped the Grizzlies beat, I think it was Bonita Vista. I think that was a dominant performance that I'm not sure we'll see again. Or if we do see it again, it might be a while. And you know, I'll probably be wrong. I'll probably have egg on my face because we'll probably see someone break some type of record at the state championship level again. But I don't know, man. 24 and 22 is pretty hard to do, especially when you consider this is at a state championship event where everyone's at the best. In Division II, she was the best. Talia Maxwell. And then I would also say the three state championships won at track and field, they're all my favorite moments, because whenever it's like a team championship, that's unique in itself because you have so many different parts that make it happen. But when you do it solo, when it's just you versus six, seven, eight other competitors in the final round, for Nylea Fields winning the girls' discus, for Sydney Vanek winning the girls' long jump, for Hilton Green winning the boys' pole vault, those three individuals are the best at what they do among every high school athlete in California. And so for the four of them, my favorite moments was watching them excel above everyone else in the state. Talia Maxwell, Nylea Fields, Sydney Vanek, and Hilton Green are all state champions.
That's awesome. And, Gabe, I was a little jealous because you were able to watch those state championships in Sacramento live, man. You got to see firsthand. I was following your tweets. I was actually in Las Vegas during that time. I didn't think we'd have one, let alone three teams, right, playing the state championship.
Right.
You were able to watch those games live. And that Talia Maxwell game, it just sounds unreal. Talk about a dominating performance.
And that's why I kind of walked it back. Like, we might see something like that again, but I'm not sure exactly 24 points and 22 rebounds will be repeated, because that's a monster performance. And watching her against Benita Vista, you could tell right away when they stepped on the court that she was taller than everybody else. So it's like, okay, this is kind of Talia's kind of game. When she went against Clovis West, those were battles because she was going up against Atoya Montgomery, who you might hear her name later in this segment. But I think Talia Maxwell, her coach touted her as the best player in the Valley, and it's hard to argue against it when you see what she did in the state playoffs.
Yeah, she definitely rose the occasion. And remember, too, what was it, 22 rebounds or 24?
I don't know. Like 22 rebounds, 24 rebounds, something in that ballpark.
Well, remember. Games, he's okay. 7 quarters, right? But these are 8-minute quarters in high school. To grab that many rebounds is super impressive. All right, my favorite moment, Gabe, I'm sticking with the basketball, and I'm being sentimental. Calling those three Central Section Championship games at Celand Arena in a row, it was three straight games. It was Kingsburg and Sierra boys, Clovis West and Clovis girls, and then the St. Joseph and Clovis West boys game for the big title. But yeah, that was a special time, man. And we know what COVID did to championship games, and to bring them back to Celand Arena, to where everybody can watch it, the pageantry, the atmosphere, the intensity of the games, to be on the sidelines calling the game with you, and then Jose Gonzalez joined us for the girls game, and then able to call the St. Joseph's and Clovis West. That was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Little kid from Dinuba to be able to call those games. And, high school sports are special. And to be able to, have people listen online, we're able to go to those games. That was a pretty neat deal.
Think about the stories we saw unfold. So we weren't even going to call that 4 o'clock game.
We weren't.
But I got there after the Division I soccer final, which Clovis North beat, I think it was Ridgeview in that one. And I was like, you know what? We have time. Might as well. And so we did. And that game – the story of that game was Kingsburg making it back to Celand. I believe they won it all in 2020.
Yeah.
Or 2020, before COVID happened.
Correct.
And that was underneath the old head coach. So then you have Phil Bergstrom coming in, and he takes them back to Celand Arena, and they have that all-around team performance. Was it Connor McFall had a big game? But then he had Jensen Hurstcourt come in and have a couple big blocks and some rebounds.
And they won by 20.
Yeah, and what was the other kid's name? Max Workington.
Yeah.
A spark plug off the bench. I love the way he plays. I can't wait to see him in football this upcoming season. Just so many different guys that stepped up. Jimmy Cranford in the post, getting rebounds, playing defense. That was an all-around team win for Kingsburg. Clovis West, the storyline there, obviously, Clovis West wanted to avenge that loss in January, and they did just that. And then the Clovis West St. Joseph game, I think I called half of that when my jaw dropped. Because we weren't expecting that. Like, we knew St. Joseph was good, but they just showed us how good they were by really, after the first quarter on, kind of taking that one away.
Yeah, St. Joseph's going to be here to stay with boys basketball. I want to mention, too, the grind never stops with high school kids. There's a 7-on-7 football stuff happening at Fresno State right now. At Clovis West, there's summer basketball. So, the official season has ended, but the sports go on during the summer. All right, I'm going to talk about the most impressive performance that I saw this year. Brandon Ramirez, San Joaquin Memorial running back. you know, I got to talk to our friend Bob Barnett about these records, but there was a stretch that Brandon Ramirez had in football this year running the ball that I mean, you got to almost think like a national record. I mean, it'd be very tough to figure it out, but check this out. He had a three-game stretch in league against Madera, Bullard, and Justin Garza where he carried the ball 15 times. You guys ready? 15 carries for 436 yards and 10 touchdowns. Let me read that again. 15 carries, 436, 10 touchdowns. So he only didn't score five times in that stretch when he carried the ball. Again, 10 touchdowns and 15 carries is incredible. That's a 29 yards per average. And then he followed that up with that remarkable game against Central, a game that I was able to witness firsthand. We called that game on 1430 ESPN. Against Central in a playoff game, he carried the ball 30 times for 326 yards and three touchdowns, and the Grizzlies won. They advanced on 39 total plays from scrimmage. Again, 39 plays. San Joaquin Memorial ran 39 plays. They handed the ball off to Brandon Ramirez 30 times, rushed for 326 and three touchdowns.
You know, Ramirez
unbelievable.
Ramirez is going to be running back in college.
Confirmed?
Confirmed, yep. He's going to be running back in college.
When did they just make us like decide, hey, he's too valuable as a running back? I mean,
you just read
just
the numbers.
The stats.
You read the numbers,
right?
Yeah. Look at that.
Well, we thought he was going to be maybe a strong safety, but yeah. Running back. Okay, good call.
Good call by Tedford. Yep. And you can see why he's just such a fun player to watch and also great to talk to. I know you had him right in this chair during the fall, and he was humble, and he was raised right. And it's fun to see a guy like that who is all about the game, all about the team, have success like that. And someone who reminds me of that and who also sat in this chair and is my most impressive performance is Ty Chambers of Lemoore High. Against CVC, he had 6 touchdowns and 300 yards in the championship game. That team, let me look. I have the score up right now. Let me tell you the final score. 62-46.
Unbelievable.
Like, he had to throw 6 touchdowns to beat CVC. And CVC, think about them coming in. They always will wonder, what if we had Jaden Moore in that championship game? But they still had a good defense, a defense that beat Clovis North, a defense and a team that was undefeated, I believe, going into that one. They beat Kingsburg, remember that? So that CVC team was considered the favorite, and you have Ty Chambers going on the road, enemy territory, and pull out a game like that. Most impressive performance for me was that game because it was on television. You had Camarillo gushing over Ty Chambers, and for good reason, because Chambers really balled out. And I think you might hear his name later. I think I'm not going to spoil anything, but you might hear his name again later.
Well, I remember CVC was undefeated, the best team in school history. The game was at their place, and I follow that game online, and I every time CVC would score, Ty Chambers.
And they were big touchdowns. Yeah,
60-yard
touchdowns.
I mean, just crazy stuff.
Yeah,
crazy
his
stuff.
Arm.
All right, good call. Most impressive performance. All right, we're going to talk about a couple standout student athletes. And, you know, I went with a baseball player, and I went with a basketball, volleyball, softball player for my girl. All right, so JP Acosta for Buchanan. A baseball player. He's a four. He ended up fourth all-time in Buchanan history with 122 hits. A couple guys you may have heard of up there, Jason Donald.
Right? might have heard of him.
Yeah, might have heard of him. Kyle Smith, head coach at Clovis East. I mentioned I wanted to play shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers, right, in 1983. And watching J.P. Acosta just field ground balls, whether it was warm-ups, in and out, in between innings. I just love that part of the game, just the smoothness that he had, his arm strength, his ability to make difficult plays. He was just a joy to watch for the 4 years. He's a four-year varsity guy headed to Long Beach State. They won that Central Section title in 2021. He was a baseball player. He looked the part. I know his family well. His uncle is a former Major League Baseball player, Jose Ortiz. So, you know, JP was just a guy that stood out to me. He's smooth, and I had him on the show. And something that impressed me is that, he said, what do you do in your free time? He said, he didn't say like, oh, I play video games. I do this. I like to watch TV. He's like, hey, I started a Bible study. I invited guys to a Bible study. So those are the types of things that just shows the maturity, of him. So he just stood out to me. So JP Acosta is one of my standout guys. On the girls' side, Mo Trigueiro, she's gotten a lot of accolades over 4 years, deservedly so. Carruthers, all-time leading scorer in basketball. Got a softball title as well, basketball title. Just found out she's going to play basketball at Butte College, so congratulations to her. She's on the show. Great girl, great interview. Really interested in, you know, farm, right? Mm-hmm. She wants to, you know, have a career in that. So, I mean, just one of those all-American type girls. So, those are my people.
I could imagine her being a coach one day, Mo Trigueiro. I could imagine that. I had a struggle with this because I cheated, Paul. I picked like six boys athletes. Small school football boys player, Ty Chambers. Big school boys football, Brandon Ramirez. Small school boys basketball, Logan Kilbert. Big school boys basketball, Mike Davis Jr. Small school baseball boys athlete, Houston Hirschkorn, batted 495, 40 RBIs for the Division III champion Kingsburg Vikings. And I want to say Kingsburg Mustangs.
Like you almost did.
Mustangs.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then J.P. Acosta, you're right. J.P. Acosta, every time he was at the plate, I felt like he was going to get a hit. And people don't know this, but I think he was injured towards the latter part of the season.
Shoulder, yeah.
And he started having to bat left-handed. And he still got hits. I was like, what the heck? I don't know how often he bats left-handed, but he still got hits, and he was huge in that Stockdale game. He's huge in all their games. So for the girls, I only had one per sport. Volleyball, Aiden Goodrich. Because Clovis West made it to the Division I final, and I remember watching that semifinal against Clovis East, and she was absolutely dominant. Like, Aiden Goodrich, you could tell that she was the best player on the court in the playoff atmosphere, so she got my nod for Girls Volleyball Athlete of the Year. Girls Basketball, Toya Montgomery, and Softball, Ryan Maddox.
Yeah,
she's also the call. Gatorade Softball Player of the
California,
Year.
California Player of the Year, yep. Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, I'll let you cheat. I'll let you cheat, Gabe. All right. Yeah, I only had one each.
I had to shout him out. I had to shout everybody
know.
Out.
It was hard. It's hard to limit this, so to speak. But and one of the things too, Gabe, and you know, talking about Acosta and Trigueiro, you know, just watching these kids for their entire career. That played a part. And getting to know the families. That's to me that stuff is pretty special. Getting to know the families and you know what it takes to you know, the sacrifices that the families have to make for their kids, and we see that all up and down the central section. All right, good list, my friend. All right, favorite venue to watch a game? I'll let you go first.
Per sport. Football.
Per sport? Oh, yeah. I just listed one. Look at you. It's
sorry.
Almost like you have your own show.
Sorry, no,
you get your own show
right,
for 4 days a week.
I'll just do one then. I'll pick this one over the others. Having traveled to different football stadiums because of my internship with ABC 30, I saw all these different venues. I was only able to stay there for like 20 minutes at a time because Stephen Hicks and or Alec Nolan were racing to get as many games as possible. But there really is nothing like a Kerman High football game. You can tell the lights from as you're driving into Kerman. The atmosphere there is amazing. A lot of red, a lot of food trucks on the side. I don't know what it was like before Damon Jenkins got there, but part of me thinks he being there is a reason why the football team's good and why people show up to the games. Very comparable to Sanger. In fact, let's just say Kerman and Sanger are both my favorite venues to watch a game.
Good call. All right. I guess I should mention, too, Gabe, this is one of the things we have to do as radio hosts. Talking with Gabe Camarillo here. Talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe and I are breaking down the year in review in sports. All right. Yeah, good call. Good job mentioning Sanger. I was able to call a game with Pat Hill and Jose Gonzalez, Sanger and Clovis East game. And you're right. All the things to say about Sanger is absolutely true. My favorite place to watch a game. I might cheat on this one, too. I have another one. But La Monica Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's romantic. It's poetic. When that sunset goes down, there's nothing like it. It seems like every game I go to, when that sunset hits at the right spot, I'm always taking a picture and posting it. It's just – it's romantic. It's, you know, it's a great place to watch a football game. There's no track. So there's hardly any separation between the sidelines and the student sections. You know, it's named La Monica Stadium after Daryl LaMonica. There's history there. You know, it's obviously in residential, right? It's not like some of the county schools where it's separated from the school and, you know, you see farmland and stuff. But it's just a great venue. The history of the school, the name of the school, and that sunset can't be beat.
Now, I might have a troublesome question for you. But if you were going to watch a big game, would you rather watch it in football at Veterans or La Monica?
I still say La Monica.
Still say La Monica?
Yeah, Veterans, if you're watching it from the press box, you're higher up.
Yes. The track
separates
you.
The track that separates. if we're keeping it real here, right, the grass is better at La Monica as well. It was a little torn up at Veterans. I haven't seen it in a while, but during football season, it was a little tore up. But, yeah, I'm sticking with
And I think most
La Monica.
People would agree with you. But I know some people love Veterans, so I wasn't sure how that would go. But I agree with you.
Veterans is incredible. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, the state track and field meet there. Yeah. Like, people are blown away. They're like, this is a high school. This is not a college. No, this is high school. Clovis Unified does it right.
We got one more, I think.
We got one more. All right. Your top teams. Okay, we could probably spend 10 minutes on this. We got about 4 or 5 minutes.
I'll pick
but,
one.
No, you could pick. You know, I'll let you pick more. I want to hear your top teams. It's fun, you know, kind of jogging my memory.
If in football, and we're keeping this Fresno because we're on ESPN Radio Fresno. We're not on ESPN Radio Bakersfield. Sorry. Okay. I'm picking Memorial Football because they beat all the big track schools except Buchanan, which – you know, they still don't want to talk about that, but they lost to Buchanan, and they probably would have maybe had a rematch with Buchanan in the final, but Buchanan lost to Liberty. Memorial Football, though, they beat Clovis West, they beat Clovis North, and that was an impressive win because you look at Clovis North and how they finished this season, and they beat Central. Memorial beat Central twice. I still would have loved to see that Buchanan-Memorial rematch. I'm still kind of upset that we didn't get that. I love Liberty. I love Coach Nixon, but when's the last time we had an all Fresno Clovis football final?
It's been a while.
It's been a while because it's always been Central Bakersfield I lied. Central Buchanan was 2019 when we had that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Kendall Milton. Yeah. All right. You got more? I'll let you have a couple more.
Okay. Now,
you wanted to mention
who's a better team? Who's a better team? Memorial Boys Basketball or Clovis West Boys Basketball? Like, if the two of them got on the court and played each other,
what?
Who do you think wins?
What? last year? Thinking about Clovis West and Memorial?
Yeah. Right. I have Memorial as mine. I'll let you chew on that question.
Oh, my God.
Clovis West Girls Basketball is my girls' team. I mean, they were so good. And the fact that they beat the only team they lost to in our section twice, that shows to me that they were the best team, hands down. And then I have – I couldn't pick between Kingsburg or Liberty Baseball, so I picked both of them for baseball.
Kingsburg Baseball, they had a good season. Yep. Coach Cranford did an amazing job. Okay, so my top teams. All right. Clovis West Boys and Girls. All right, that program.
Right.
They were my 1A for my favorite venue to watch a game. I love the gym at Clovis West, the Eagle's Nest there. It's still small. It's intimate. When, Gabe, and you've been there, you've seen it, it seems like every year there's a triple overtime game or a game where Clovis West comes back. You know, they're down 23 in the second half. When that place is rocking, when that place is loud, there's no better venue to watch a basketball game, right? We talk about Celand Arena. It's an arena. Talk about Clovis West, right? There's standing room only. It's loud. It's intimate. There's nothing like it. And the Clovis West boys and basketball team, I mean, led by their coaches, Coach Vance Wahlberg and Craig Campbell, those guys are elite, absolute elite coaches, and their programs reflect it. So it's the best. I know Etowanda is a public school down south, and they got really good boys and girls basketball teams. But, hey, right here in the Central Valley, Clovis West boys and girls basketball, elite public school programs, and they got the players and the wins to prove it. Last year they went 60-6 overall combined. The year before, 59-6, right? 119-12 over the last 2 years. Clovis West girls, the 11 straight Central Section champions. You know, it's just I love going to watch Clovis West boys and girls basketball.
No reason to disagree with that. You're right. They're elite. I would have loved to see Clovis West boys go on a state playoff run as the one seed in Division One, but you look at what they did, full picture. They only lost, what, 3 times all year? They lost to Clovis North by 2, and that was one of my favorite games of the year, that first game at Clovis North that we called on 1430, and that was a back-and-forth game. That loss made Clovis West better. I think you had Jackson Young on the show, and he said that to you. And then the only other 2 losses they had were to St. Joe's, which went all the way to the open division final, and Granada, which went to the Division One final. So they lost to elite teams, I would say. And I think Clovis West boys basketball, the fact that they beat everyone else convincingly, you're right. They're the standard of our area. Now, Memorial boys basketball had a great season in itself, but to answer your question, Clovis Memorial, if they play 10 times, I think it goes 5-5.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty even. But I think both of them, I would say, would be my boys' basketball teams of the year because they both had a season to be proud of.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, the Memorial State Championship run was incredible. And you were first-hand, Gabe. We watched one of their games at San Joaquin Memorial, but you were able to check them out at Golden One Center.
Yeah, your point about Clovis West, Jim, I like it. If Memorial had more seats, I feel like it would be like almost there, but Clovis West has just enough seating, and it's cozy enough to where I think it's the perfect mix of you can fit everyone in, and everyone's close to the action. At Memorial, you have people standing on the sides, and then you have people standing in the hallway to watch the game. I've always said Memorial Gym has to be bigger, but, you know, it's also part of the charm of it.
Yeah, Coach Roz does an amazing job. And the history of Memorial basketball,
true.
You see
yes.
The Lopez twins and Pondexters up there. So, anyway, great stuff. Well, Gabe, there it is. There it is.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. We wrapped up the season the best we could. We had some impressive performance, standout student athletes. But, Gabe, I want to thank you for the time that you put in for producing my show and, you know, the great job that you do on your show. It's been a fun year. Again, just very, very blessed to be able to talk about the wonderful student athletes and coaches and programs up and down the Central Section. And I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else. So I just want to tell you, thank you, Gabe.
Thank you for putting up with me, man. For a year.
I don't know
how you do it.
You're amazing.
I can interrupt you. I can get on your nerves. I can ask you the toughest questions to answer, impossible questions that if you answer one way, you make someone mad.
I know, absolutely. But that's what it's all about. So, Gabe, thank you very much. Appreciate everybody in the Central Valley. Again, this is the last show until we ramp it back up in August. Gabe and I are going to be broadcasting the City County football game. Make sure you guys tune in for that. Thank you to First String Sports. They are incredible. They are my day one sponsors where I do my show every Saturday. Big thanks to them, Jerry and Phil Luna, Sean Hand here. First String Sports have been amazing. Thanks to Coach Gorton. Thanks to Coach Ward. Thanks to Brock Jones. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo. And thank you to all of you for listening, for being consistent, for being, just great, great listeners. Appreciate you all greatly. We will talk to you soon. Have a good rest of the week.